Like I said, I don't even know what wanton endangerment is. And is it really, is it something to worry about being convicted of? Are you going to end up in jail? Will there be fines? Something? I guess I'm struggling with this. I understand manslaughter. I understand, involuntary manslaughter. Oops, I made a mistake. I understand that stuff. I don't understand and don't know what wanton endangerment is. Anyway, here to share some thoughts on maybe my next guest knows what wanton endangerment is. I've asked our good friend Kari Pennebaker to come talk with us. Kari is the the treasurer of the DNC's Black Caucus. Kari, thanks for taking time for us.
Hey, brother. Thanks for having me on again.
So it seems like we have these conversations too frequently. Any idea what wanton endangerment is? Does it come with jail time? Does it come with a fine, slap on the wrist, something?
I'm not sure. I'm not a lawyer, but what I do know is that they placed more value on the building than they did on Breonna Taylor's life. The three men who actually shot and killed her weren't charged at all. The officer that was charged was essentially charged because he fired into adjacent apartments. So they're basically saying because his aim wasn't good that he should be convicted, but because the other officers hit her six times, I guess that's cool. I mean, that's essentially what they're saying to me.
Wow.
They ultimately are saying overall is that her life didn't matter to them at all and that those officers are above the law.
I mean, how do you justify that? I mean, I'm struggling with a couple of things in this story. One, the fact that, the woman was in her bed, right?
Yeah, she was in her bed. I mean, it's 12 o'clock in the morning. The funny thing about this, well, I would call it ironic, not funny, is that they got a no-knock warrant, but yet are claiming that they announced themselves and they did knock. It just simply doesn't make sense. To me, this smacks of a pure cover-up. And is another shiny example of why we desperately need police reform.
Yeah, I'm looking at this and I'm just going, there's nothing in this that smells right. No. How did they end up, at her apartment, considering, she wasn't a criminal?
No, so they were after someone else. It was, I believe, her ex-boyfriend, who was already in custody, by the way. They then went to try to get the ex-boyfriend, after they shot and killed her, to say that she was involved in crimes too, and he wouldn't do it. They were trying to cover this up from Jump Street because they knew they had made a mistake, and they killed an innocent black woman who was only 26 years old in her own home. You also don't see the NRA coming out saying, this is wrong, and these jackbooted thugs should be held accountable. None of that's happening, because it's a bunch of lies that they spew about this nonsense about having a gun in your home is going to keep you safe. It clearly didn't because the boyfriend shot back. She still was shot and killed. There's no reason on earth those officers should have been there. Breonna Taylor, she should still be alive today.
Now, I mean, one of the other things that caught my attention is, I guess the guy they did charge, and I said this a minute ago, they let out on $15,000 bond. I'm going, 15 grand. Right. Just down the street from where I'm at, the protest of a shooting of someone here in this area, some protesters got arrested for vandalism and stuff. They're being held on $1 million. I see an imbalance here. I see a problem here. I see something wrong with our justice system.
It absolutely is. I mean, and today marks 65 years since the Emmett Till's killers were set free. And it is a stark reminder about how things have not changed enough. Where you go from murdering an innocent 14-year-old boy, and those killers got off, to not even convicting and not even charging the people after 150-plus days of those who killed Breonna Taylor. This is flat-out wrong. There's no way you can justify this. And this is why people are angry right now. Black folks don't feel safe in our own country. We are demanding that we have police reforms, which also, by the way, not only keeps community safe, but it keeps officers safe. In no other industry, no other line of work would this excuse work. We would never cover up these kind of blatant mistakes. You wouldn't let a pilot behave the way that some of these officers do. You wouldn't let a doctor, a lawyer, anybody. But yet, because they're a police officer, they get away with it. I get that being a cop is a difficult job, but they signed up for this. They weren't drafted into the police force, and there is no such thing as a blue light. Nothing is like this. That's simply not real. These folks should be beholden to us, not that imaginary blue line.
What do you say to the people who go, you know, neighborhoods who are, you know, high crime neighborhoods, and they always bring up Chicago. And I get this a lot, that African-American communities want not less police, they want more. I've seen a lot of conservative, you know, black conservative commentators saying this. They want more cops on the street. They want to be safer. Do you find that to be true in your experience? Because I'll tell you, in my experience, I think it's the exact opposite. When I was a kid growing up in the projects, we never called the cops because they were never helpful. But I'm curious your thoughts.
So I can't speak for every community, but what I can say is that I do count on the cops to keep my family and myself safe, given all the harassment and death threats that I get. But that doesn't mean that an officer should be the first person responding to every call. That is part of police reform that we're calling for, in that if it's a mental health care crisis, it should not be an officer that responds. I mean, just a few weeks ago, a young man, I believe he was like 13 or 14, was having a mental health care crisis, and the police showed up and shot and killed him. So that's the kind of stuff we're talking about, in addition to this kind of reckless behavior where you're shooting into a place you can't even see the people you're shooting at. It is simply wrong. I think that communities want to be safe, but they also want to have a working relationship with those who are tasked with keeping that community safe. It shouldn't be this overhanded thing. The relationship that currently exists right now is one that is untenable. We should have community policing where the police officers know the people that they're working with, know the people that they're policing and keeping safe, but that's not what's happening. We have this narrative now of this, from Trump about, you know, we need to be tough on crime and all this other stuff. While on one hand, sure, we don't want criminals on our street, but we also don't want the police acting like the criminals and then getting away with it either. We don't want either of those things.
But what do you say to the people? This has been kind of a, you know, now we're into two separate camps. Either you're with the police or you're against them. There doesn't seem to be any middle ground. And I'm someone who wants to find middle ground. Because I'm with you. We need to have cops on the street. We do need to have police to keep our neighborhood safe. But I'm also just, there's no way you can condone the kind of behavior that we've seen in way too many cases. Is there middle ground in this? I mean, is there a way to depoliticize this to where we actually have a real conversation on how we do some policing and how we keep communities safe and how we don't have policemen, you know, kneeling on someone's neck for, you know, nearly 10 minutes or shooting somebody in their bed?
There should be a middle ground. Unfortunately, those who are in positions of power are stoking the flames of hate and anger. When, you know, you're in bed with the NRA, the only thing you can sell is fear. And that is exactly what Donald Trump has done, is made people believe that it's a either or proposition, where you have to either be for the police or you're against them. He doesn't allow for any kind of nuance. And that's the ironic thing about this, is where people are so pro-police until they're the ones that are the victim of police brutality. When it happens to them, then it's bad. But when it happens to us, it's like, well, you shouldn't have been breaking the law. Well, I mean, it can't be like that. There should be some reasonable people who are able to take the lead on these things and calm the community down so that these kinds of issues are not only addressed on the front end, but we have transformational policies put in place so they don't continue to happen. Donald Trump is, in my mind, condoning these kinds of behaviors. He's not out there talking about how these officers shouldn't be behaving this way. He just wants to get people to be afraid and be on his side, and he doesn't care what he's got to say or what he has to do to get that to happen. No. But in the middle of all that, the rest of us, even those on the other side, are the ones that are paying the price of this. And it doesn't have to be like that.
No, in fact, you know, I would argue Trump is doing everything he can do to inflame the rhetoric and to use these moments to his advantage, to scare the hell out of Whitey. Because every time we see the protests flare up, every time we see people, rightly so in my view, expressing their anger, that becomes part of his campaign material.
Absolutely. And it is something that, again, it doesn't have to be like this. And we always quote that line from Dr. King's speech where he said, a riot is the language of the unheard. In that same paragraph, he goes on to talk about how you solve riots and things like that. It is by social justice and progress that are the guarantors of preventing riots. If you want to stop these kinds of things, then you need to stop police behavior. You need to make sure that police unions, just like you, I support unions, but they cannot behave the way that they do. They are resisting change. They are cloaking themselves amongst each other and forgetting who they actually work for. To me, it's almost like they're behaving like a gang. Like, they only want to protect themselves at the expense of the rest of us. And when you have a feckless leader like Donald Trump who can't see beyond his own power grab, that's how you get this stuff to happen, right? Especially at the volume that it's happening. He makes it infinitely worse. Instead of being the calming person that we need to try to get the level of tension to decrease, he's out there making it absolutely worse.
So do you see, we hope Joe Biden's elected in November. Do you see a Biden presidency as something that would help bring this back, bring us somewhere towards middle ground, common ground? Because, here's the part that I'm struggling with. I'm talking with corrections officers. I'm talking with police officers, and they are dead set against Biden because Biden's with the Black Lives Matter people, and they hate cops, and they want to defend us, and they want to make us weak. And this is the rhetoric that's being thrown around. And I'm curious, how we pull back from this polarized situation, because it's not good for, like you said, it's not good for any of us.
No, it's not. And the reason I think that, for a number of reasons, that Joe Biden would be a phenomenal president, but one of the main things that Joe Biden embodies is empathy. When Breonna's family is struggling with the loss of their daughter, the murder of their daughter, the same way that George Floyd's family is struggling with the murder of their loved one, he understands that kind of pain and can speak to that kind of pain, but also can speak to what is a reasonable approach to addressing this problem instead of trying to make people more afraid and want to solidify this idea that you have to be with the police or you're against them. If you take that approach, it prevents you from finding solutions when there are problems. There is no industry on the planet that is fault-free. The only way you can address mistakes is when you identify them, you speak on them. Those folks don't even want to talk about police violence. They act like it doesn't exist when it is clear that it does. That's why I believe that Joe Biden is the best choice to be our next president. He's got a plan to address police violence. He's got a plan to help our communities. And he understands, again, what it's like to speak to America's collective pain. And that's something we have not had for the last 4 years.
No, you're absolutely right. As I said a minute ago, the thing that struck me is, this officer or ex-officer was charged with this wanton endangerment and released on $15,000 bond, whereas we have these protesters who were arrested down in Lancaster held on $1 million bond.
Right.
I look at what the governor of Florida, Ron DeSantis, is doing and the language he used the other day about, how we're going to go after those protesters and how we're going to, there'll be no violence or that stuff in our neighborhood because, the law will come raining down like a ton of bricks was, I think, his statement. I don't know how helpful that kind of rhetoric is. And I think it polarizes us even further. I'm curious your thoughts on the idea that, we need to have laws in place to rain down on people like a ton of bricks.
It's not helpful at all. Because if you think about it in this context, I don't actually want to be afraid of the police. I mean, I understand that law is supposed to be the deterrent to the crime. I understand that. But those who are supposed to execute the law and keep us safe aren't the ones we should be afraid of. Those are the ones that are supposed to help us, not hurt us. And it's the opposite. Now, again, there are far more good cops than bad cops. But it is incumbent upon those good cops to start calling out the bad ones, because when you don't do that, it makes them all unsafe. It puts them in harm's way. It puts them in a position where they might have to cover up for their buddy in blue instead of doing the right thing. I don't care if you wear a uniform or if you're in the street, you commit a crime, you're a criminal. Doesn't matter what your job application is or what your name or rank might be. Those folks simply don't care about public safety. They're more interested in the blue line and not us. And this idea that Black Lives Matter hates cops is asinine. It's not real. It's just a part of this narrative of how we keep each other separate and keep this mantra going that you have to either be pro-police or you're anti-police. That is simply not true.
Right, but they always come out with that one person who says something really stupid. And they, you know, it's magnified and it gets into the echo chamber, and then that becomes the message for the movement. That's not new. That's been going on for since the beginning of time. But it just seems like now in the era of social media, now this instant media, it's become a little bit more powerful.
It absolutely has. But there again, though, I mean, you take there's something different between someone who is an activist and out protesting against police violence saying something, even in the heat of the moment, may be stupid. That is different than when the president or a governor says it or an attorney general says it. Those folks have a platform and have power, can actually do something.
Yeah.
While a protester can't. A protester is just screaming for change. While those in elected office like DeSantis and Trump and that attorney general down in Tennessee or in Kentucky, they don't care about the pain that black folks are going through. People want police to do better. Police should want police to do better. But when you have elected officials who ignore the problem, they want to whitewash this. They want to sanitize this and make it go away because they're counting on votes. We want to count people's lives. We want more people to be alive and be safe and not be afraid when you drive by a police officer. That should not be the dynamic that we have in our society.
No,
we're
right
supposed
there with
to be the greatest country on earth.
Yep.
We need to start acting like it.
I'm right there with you. Kari, as always, I appreciate the time. Good stuff. Thanks so much. I hope we talk on better terms next time.
I hope so, brother. Anytime you want to have me on, I'm happy.
Thanks so much. Our good friend, Kari Pennebaker. Sad stuff. I'd love to hear your thoughts. You can email me, rick@thericksmithshow.com. Quick break. Right back.
Remembering that united we bargain, divided we beg. Rick Smith.